This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice. Right? It's a choice. So we're going to rejoice because we have a choice. Powerful. You know, everything that comes across your path, you have a choice. There isn't anything that you don't have a choice of. Some people say, well, I didn't have the choice. Oh, you do have a choice. Don't make no mistakes that the enemy tells you, oh, you didn't have a choice. You had to do, no, you didn't have to do anything. You have a choice of submission. You have a choice to reject. You have a choice to believe. You have a choice to disbelieve. God doesn't have to prove himself. He already did. See, so many people are waiting for God to prove himself. He ain't gonna. He's already done it. Then he releases spirit to prove him. Does everybody get it? So Holy Spirit proves God. Oh, hallelujah. So when he invades us, he brings deliverance and healing. He visits us in dreams and visions. And there are what we call standing visions. You can have a vision anywhere. God uses your imagination to bring vision. As long as it's not perverted, you'll be able to see. He did not keep us blinded. The scales have been removed. Amen? We do have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to follow now. And God will speak to you through vision more than anything. But if you can't see correctly, he'll speak to you another way. But he speaks to us every single day. He's always pressing on us something every day. And he doesn't push you. He leads you. Does everybody get it? The enemy comes to push. The spirit comes to lead. Hallelujah. Would you grab the swords and go to Philippians chapter 4. 4:4. Did y'all have your coffee yet? She just got filled with the Spirit of God and been refreshed, renewed, and energized. You know? Do you have a ready battery? What's that, a rabbit? And you ought to leave God's presence like this. See, when you clap, you're shooing demons away. They hate the sound of clapping. They hate it. You want to mess up a demon? Hallelujah, give God glory. Man, he gets all messed up. Philippians 4:4, let's speak it together. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh, wait a minute, always? I don't feel like rejoicing. You're an idiot. God gave you a choice to rejoice. People that don't want to rejoice, it's because they're miserable. They've been taken captive by a spirit of oppression. And see, in the presence of the Lord is full of what? Joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. See, so the enemy doesn't want you to rejoice because he knows that it brings the presence of God to give you strength. We are earthen vessels with the presence of God. We're to have dominion over all things as kings and priests to the king. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Not only that, when you rejoice, the Bible tells us something specifically. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. So you be joyful no matter whether you're sick, no matter what you're going through. Hallelujah. You just got to praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, why? Because you know he's got it. Let your gentleness be made known to all men that the Lord is at hand, that he's with you. That's why you're rejoicing. God's with me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So don't rush. Don't be anxious. I know sometimes we're in a hurry. Hello? And there's nothing wrong with being in a hurry, but don't be anxious. Anxiousness will blind you. Anxiousness will bring confusion. There is a enemy who loves to play with anxious. It causes you to make the wrong choice. You can buy the wrong car, marry the wrong person, get the wrong job by being anxious, because anxious blinds. That's why he says, be anxious for nothing. But in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. There's the answer, the peace of God. If you ain't got peace, something's not right. If you're still in anxiousness, you haven't got peace. If you're in fear, you haven't got peace. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, so you ain't got to figure it out, will guide your hearts and your thoughts, your mind, through Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. So this peace is going to guide you. Hello, does everybody get this? Especially now. What's going on in the world now? Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, focus on these things. Meditate means to focus. These things which you've learned and received and heard, saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be what? With you. Choice of rejoice, meditate again, is to focus. There is much distraction right now. Much distraction. Distraction is increasing. It's increasing by AI news, artificial intelligence news, weather, relationships, disappointments, travel, oppression, fears, local and global. Distractions, constant. We're being bombarded like never before. The enemy's setting up false realities. See, there's a parallel between a false reality and a true reality. They go together, they run together. It takes one choice to get moved out of the true reality into the false one. One choice. People are overloaded with information. Causes distractions. There's people, I mean, people are having a hard time focusing. I mean, think about it. Just when you're driving down the road, there's billboards, there's this, signs, this, that, whatever. People, man, you get to somebody and the music's going like crazy. The windows are about to pop. It's got every foul word in it. But there's distractions everywhere, no matter where you go. And we've got to be careful to maintain focus. And that's what this is about today, maintaining focus. Anybody know a lot of people that they used to call them worry warts? They weren't warts, they were worry warts. Everything that you talked, anytime you were around them, they always did a what if. It's a whole nother language. What if. Fearful. Worry. People worry. The Bible says don't worry, right? Don't worry, be happy. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not what? Forget my law, my words. But let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Does everybody see this? Length of days, long life and peace, his promises, his words, his covenant will bring to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Okay, now here's something you got to do first. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? He'll direct your path. You know, some people just don't get this. They can't trust yet. Trust the Lord by acknowledgement. By acknowledging him, you are able to resist confusion. Do not be wise in your own eyes, in your own understanding. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Everything is about healing and prospering. But he keeps saying, stop trusting in yourself. Stop trusting in the world. Stop trusting in man. Stop trusting in you. Trust in him. You know, there's a lot of people who say, man, I don't trust nobody but me. That's a bummer. I can't trust me. I'm my worst enemy. Jude chapter 1. So the first thing we need to do is what? Trust the Lord. What? To maintain focus. Many people are taken captive by mind control spirits. And these spirits keep an individual from going further because everything is about me, myself, and I. They can't get their eyes off of themselves. It's always about how I feel, how I need to die. And all eyes. It's not about us. The way we focus is to get refocused, trusting in the Lord, so you're not focusing on you. You know, you've probably seen this. People walking across like a bridge, or especially the ones that are like, they're going across this valley, and it's a wooden bridge. You know, it's like swinging, and it's got some stairs broken in them, and they're like, I can't do this, I can't do it. You know what they have to do? They have to refocus and get their eyes off of them and look across all the way so that they can get across. Does everybody understand that? Because, see, the enemy likes to bring you to you. Well, what if this and what if that and all of these what ifs? That brings it to you. That means the enemy's bringing you to trust in you and work out of your own strength instead of trusting in the Lord and working out of his strength. Is everybody okay? Jude chapter 1, are you there? And verse 20. But you, beloved, building your what? Selves up. So you need to build yourself up. You need to trust in the Lord. The second thing you need to do is build yourself up. Stir yourself up. With your most holy faith, praying in what? The Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but on others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Stir up your faith using the gift of tongues. Praising God, speaking his name, calling out on his name. You must stir yourself up. And I don't mean by 25 push-ups or jumping jacks. They may get the blood flowing, but you need to get the spirit flowing. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be what? Which means what? Alert. Be alert. You need to be alert. Be vigilant, which means what? Consistent. See, you can't be alert without being consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour by confusion, by misfocusing. He causes misfocus. See, he knows when God's about to do something for you, and he tries to distract you as much as he can so you miss it. It's like a football player going out for a pass, and the defender comes up to him and yells at him. He goes, oh, and he misses the ball. Many people have missed divine opportunities because they've been distracted by demonic influences. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is trying to confuse you. The Bible says, resist him what? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you're not the only one who's going through it. This is a constant battle. It is every day. It's every night. Even while you sleep. We must be alert and consistent by looking beyond the physical. Does everybody understand it? Looking beyond the what? Physical. Realizing where your influence is coming from. If you don't recognize where your influence is coming from, you'll lose focus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, please. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Rather what? You got to expose your distractions. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifested by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Again, we need to expose your distractions. So we need to trust the Lord. We need to stir up the faith. We need to be alert and consistent, and we need to expose our distractions. Did we have a distraction in here Friday night? Everybody knew it, didn't they? It was distractive. That's what the enemy loves to do, distract. Why? Then when you get distracted, you lose focus. And you got to battle and fight to get back into focus again. Mark chapter 3, verse 27. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first does what? Binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. So again, remember, we're looking beyond the physical. Am I correct? We're looking beyond the physical. We're exposing our distractions. We must bind these things that are distracting us. We bind the strong man and remove him. So whatever your distraction is, you got to bind it. So it's not distracting you. You know, I went into the gym yesterday morning, and there's this guy in there that's, how can I say, full of flesh. He's a big guy. And he makes so much stinking noise when he's in there. And he's dropping the weights. And I'm like, oh, God. And then he plays the when yesterday went into the music was so loud I couldn't think. I almost turned around and walked out. And I was like, Lord, I'm not going to put up with this. He says, you don't have to. I turned around. I walked back in there. I went and got on the bike for a couple minutes, and all of a sudden the dude packed up and left, and his music went with him. I was like, thank you. Thank you. It was nice and peaceful. I could work out in joy without the distractions beating me besides resisting the steel. It was wonderful. But the reality of we have so much distraction. Even when you go into a grocery store, if the music is a little bit too loud and it's whatever, and you're trying to remember what you're supposed to get, well, snap. I get distracted. Man, if I don't have a sticky note somewhere, then I get distracted and forget where I put the sticky note. I need a sticky note to tell me what a sticky note is. But, sometimes we're, again, sometimes we're really sensitive to the things of the Spirit of God, but we're easily distracted because you hear everything. You sense everything. So you need to get earplugs that distract the world. But we've got to be careful so we don't maintain focus. How many times you've walked in a kitchen to get something, you went, what the heck am I doing in here? I'm looking at the refrigerator going, am I supposed to visit somebody? What did I come to get? Am I still hungry? You know, aging sucks, I got to tell you. Don't let anybody tell you aging's wonderful. Aging sucks. But we got to maintain good health so we can maintain focus. Hallelujah. And the older you get, the more you need to maintain. I don't care how many vitamins and supplements you're taking. You still got to exercise spiritual growth. That's what keeps you maintaining. We got to maintain focus. And it's real simple. The Bible says, put the Lord before you. Put the Lord before you. But when you're out there frustrated and confused, you ain't putting the Lord before him. You're putting you before him. And that's what the enemy wants to do. Then you make mistakes and you make wrong choices. So we need to bind those distractions. Amen? Not only expose them, but bind them. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For though we walk in the physical, we don't war according to the physical or the flesh. We must maintain that understanding. Even though we're walking in this realm, our war is not against this realm. It's against what's influencing this realm, influencing it. Amen? So we've got to constantly look beyond the physical. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or physical, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. In other words, those strong men that you just bound, those distractions. Strongholds are memory lies, things that you've accepted from these spirits. And you touched and agreed with them. Casting down arguments. Well, can you see an argument? No. But you can hear an argument. You may see two people arguing in another room, but you ain't seeing them. You may hear them. But you may see two people arguing before you. But these arguments are spiritual arguments. There's a difference. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, which is his peace, his joy, his righteousness. Bringing every what? Thought. Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So our obedience is to bring them into captivity. We're to recognize them. As we recognize these distractions. Because that's what the arguments are. Aren't they a distraction? There's a fight over distraction. Every spirit wants to distract you. The one that distracts you is the one that gets fed. Hello? Why? Because they get fed by what? Emotion, fear, anxiousness, all of those things. Casting down strongholds, memory lies. We must be able to recognize the distraction. It's so important. You know, you'd be driving down the road and you hear a siren. So you have an alert. You're not sure where it's coming from yet, because sometimes it sounds like it's coming from every direction than what it really is. So you're keeping an alert during that period of time. You're focusing not only what you're doing, but you're focusing on what you've heard, because that siren's coming. And so you put yourself in what you call a ready mode to be able to do whatever it takes. And we must get into that same ready mode in the spirit, because the distractions are intense. Then once you see the fire truck coming from whatever it is, you can refocus again on the driving and everything else. Or where do you need to turn off the side of the road or whatever and give way to the emergency vehicle? But again, without recognizing these things, everybody recognizes a siren. You can't not hear it. But you might not know whether it's a fire truck or whatever it might be. It could be a police officer or whatever. or some other emergency vehicle. But and it's not about what it is. It's about the acknowledgement that it is there. Acknowledging that distraction. Now, that distraction is a good distraction, isn't it? Why? Because somebody could get hurt. I mean, how many accidents happen when vehicles are... I mean, they got goofy people that refuse to get out of the way of a fire truck should be hit. At least I got the emergency crew right there. But I'm telling you, I've seen people just will not move and lose their position at the red light. I'm like, what the heck? They're not ready. They're ignorant. They got a deaf and dumb spirit, dull spirit. They're not paying attention to nothing. How many people I've seen walk in front of vehicle, in front of a busy intersection with their cell phone in their hand? They pressed the button, it didn't turn yet, and they walked in. The cars are stopping for these people. That's when we need rubber bumpers. Push them out of our way. They're watching their cell phones. They're not paying attention. People driving, watching their cell phones, not paying attention. We must be alert. We must be consistent in being alert. But in the spirit realm, distractions are constant. It's not just once in a while. It's all the time. They're always trying to distract you. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 and 14. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, we believed and therefore I believed and therefore I what? Spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. We believe, that's why we speak, or we confess. We confess. Remember, the sword of the Spirit is in your mouth. It is your tongue. Life and death is in the tongue. That penetrates every realm and every reality. Not your thoughts. Your tongue. Does everybody get it? Your tongue, which penetrates all, not your thoughts. Your thoughts are trying to redirect your tongue to speak something it shouldn't. Your thoughts are trying to bring a curse on yourself. Sickness, oppression, heaviness. Your tongue. Your tongue can be your enemy or it can be your buddy. However you choose. So we believe because we speak, and when we can speak, we confess. Lord, you're my healer. You're my deliverer. Lord, my hope is in you. You are my fulfillment. Come on, you know what? Every time you get into oppression, this, that, when you get rejected, when things aren't going your way because you're looking for fulfillment, you have to confess. You can't grumble and complain about it. You got to confess, Lord, you're my fulfillment. You're my fulfillment. You're of my fulfillment. And he'll fulfill you. Or else you'll walk in confusion. You'll lose the focus again. See, everything is about maintaining focus on him. Everything. Every day, everything you do, wherever you go. It's real simple. There's a couple words that you can use all the time. What do you think, Lord? No matter where I got to do this today. What do you think? I really need your help. See, you're acknowledging him. That's all he wants to do is be acknowledged. You don't need to get on your face and worship him in the middle of the street or in a mall. Or in the laundry room, unless you want to. That's all you need to do is acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he'll establish your steps. He'll direct you. He'll even establish your thoughts. Amen. But we can't lose sight of it. Why? Because right now we've got to maintain focus. How many times have you lost? I know myself. I gotten on the wrong bus or missed the bus. I don't ride buses no more, though. Got distracted. Didn't see the right bus, whatever it was. People get, they miss things. Divine opportunities are missed by demonic distractions. Galatians chapter 5, 16. I say then what? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lust is a distraction. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things that you wish or you desire. But if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're not under judgment. Amen? So we must walk in the Spirit. So you got to get filled with the Spirit, don't you? Amen? That comes to Hebrews 10, 24. And let us consider one another in order to what? Stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking to assemble. I can't emphasize that enough. Why? Because he said, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, you got to get filled with the Spirit, so you got to assemble to get filled with the Spirit of God. Not forsaking to assemble. See, if we didn't assemble today, we wouldn't have got the message from the Holy Spirit, would we? We wouldn't have been stirred up and alerted about distractions. We have to be reminded, don't we? We always, that's what's so important about assembling together. We got to be reminded. You know, there's one, but I see people fall into oppression terribly. You know why? They don't assemble. And when they do assemble, because they don't assemble enough, they're so caught up in themselves, they can't even plug in. They can't cross over because they're still connected outside and they can't get in the presence of God. And then they blame God because they didn't get filled. It's because they didn't, were not consistent enough. Amen? You know, sometimes people, the first time they've ever come and so forth, they're like, oh man, I don't sense anything yet. Well, you just keep going. You keep going, you keep going, and you'll start sensing something. The first thing you'll start sensing is that you're a mess. Dear God, I'm a mess. That's usually the first thing. Man, I didn't know I was that messed up, you know? And then you begin to sense, you're beginning to exchange your messes for Christ's character. You'll find that how if you were a person that cussed a lot, you didn't cuss that. You don't. All these things are limited. Things begin to deplete. God doesn't come in and just take it from you. Although I sure wish he would have. But he takes it bit by bit. The more you press in, just like going through a car wash. Sometimes you got to go in a few times, and then you got to get hands laid on to get rubbed off, right? But man, you don't have to wait for somebody to lay hands on you. The greatest hands is His. His presence is better than anybody laying hands on you. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to close in Galatians 5. Not that I'm not against. Believe me, I'm a firm believer laying hands on people. Galatians chapter 5, just avoid their necks. Hallelujah. Man, we had this one girl came from New York, and she was so rebellious. It was terrible. I'm like, man, what do you... So we did a Friday night service, and she just didn't believe nothing. She was... What the heck is she doing here? I came here because of my family. So we were worshiping, and she was basically like this. Just didn't want to participate. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He goes, I want you to go lay your hands on her and stir up the demons, but don't cast any out. I said, okay. I walked her, but I laid my hands in, and I said, loose her! And she went, flew on the ground, started crawling like an animal. I got on back of her, on her back, and started riding her. I figured I'd take full advantage of this. And I began to tell her, settle down now. Stop it in the name of Jesus. Settle down. She fell to the ground. I got up. She got up. I said, are they real? Yes, yes, they're real. She broke down, cried, hugged me. Yes, they're real. Get rid of them. She left the next day. Never had an opportunity to get rid of them. I kept telling you, you're going to carry those demons with you wherever you go. This is why God sent you here, to get rid of them. But there's a process of getting rid of them. I've seen so many people go through a quick deliverance with no foundation set. And those demons come back real easy. I've had people call me all, I've been through 7 deliverances. What didn't you get delivered then? You know, I had no foundation. No foundation to stand on. No foundation of the reality of recognizing distractions. Recognizing the voice of the stranger. No foundation. Just a quick drive-through. It's not, God doesn't work that way. I'm not saying he can't do anything. He can do anything. Amen. But there was an area where he went, look at, I had a quick deliverance and everything. But he didn't let me do whatever. He put me in a place to learn and mentor and learn what I needed to learn. He set me apart for a period of time. I didn't do anything. I didn't go out and serve. I didn't do anything. He said, stay near to me. I'll be your mentor. But he doesn't do that with everyone. There's certain things. Why? Because he was preparing me for this, which I didn't even know. I still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. But this is what he did for me. But this is what he's doing for you. Amen? That's why he puts places. I mean, come on, think about it. We're in the backyard of a koi. I used to party in this room all the time. This place was nuts. Jacuzzi, partying, all kinds of stuff. Limousines, Harleys. This place was crazy. Now look what God did with it. I mean, come on, man. But you got to give him the opportunity to work with you. Everybody wants now. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It says what? Stand fast. We got to stand fast. Hold on no matter what. Therefore, in the liberty, freedom by which Christ has made us free. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. If you become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law have fallen from God's grace or plan. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. We have to be steadfast. We have to be consistent no matter what. Amen. Why? Because we've got to maintain focus. Expose what's distracting you. Expose it. Bind it. Muzzle it. Get rid of it. Expose it. The distractions are great. Sometimes you just got to depart from it. Amen? I was going to depart from the gym because it was ridiculous when I went there. But no, but then the Lord said, no, I'm going to take care of this. When I go into the gym, I apply the blood of Jesus in my eyes and my ears, in my heart, to be protected. Lord, protect my eyes, ears, and heart. course, I do that anywhere I go. I don't want to be distracted. He sends you out on to do something. You do not want to be distracted. And people get so easily distracted by things they don't understand, being anxious, and foreseeing things that God didn't show them. Impatience. It's called impatient. Impatient. That means you need to go in the hospital. It's an inpatient. But we need outpatient. We need to come out in the area to where we are waiting, trusting, resting in the Lord. Putting Him before us, acknowledging Him all of our ways, and staying alert and consistent, maintaining focus at all costs. Amen? Praise God. Father, we give You glory, honor, and praise. We thank You for Your word today. We are honored and blessed. Lord, protect what's been implanted in us so we don't refocus on something else, but constantly focus on You in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.